So they can definitely reach me through that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Fidel, John, thank you so much for joining us today here on KBOO.
When You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Are you ever listening to a new pop song or reminiscing over an old, well-loved album? And you catch a melody or a lick that reminds you of a different album altogether? Next thing you know, you're reading about the profound influence of synthesizers on rock and roll? Well then join me, Katie Zip, for Double Groove, a genre-bending show where we'll take a deep dive into an album, exploring the influences, history, and take a few quirky turns, all for maximum enjoyment and understanding of the music we love. Every second Friday of the month, 8 to 10 p.m., it's Double Groove with Katie Zip, only on your community radio station, KBOO, on 90.7 FM.
Good morning, this is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit and survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
And Dina Wilder, board operator.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. If you ever want to donate, you can donate by going to KBOO's website and click on the donate button.
All right. So first off, my first question, of course, is, introduction. Tell us your name, your pronouns, and your title at North Pole.
Sure. My name is Carissa Burkett. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the executive director of North Pole Studio.
Could you share some of your history with working with people in the IDD community?
My first professional job was working at Project Grow, and Project Grow was a day program for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It was an art and urban farming program, and that was my first formal work, and I fell deeply in love with the combination of art and working with this population of folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That was 13 or 14 years ago when I first started in that role there.
And did that particular role lead to public annex?
It sure did, yeah. So from Project Grow, many folks who were involved with Project Grow came together to co-found Public Annex. And Public Annex was a new nonprofit serving the same population in a different way. I'm still wanting to ensure that arts opportunities were accessible to the population, and was exploring different ways to accomplish that mission and different modes. So providing art classes and workshops, exhibition opportunities and mentorship or artist residency opportunities for folks, in a different format than a day program format.
How did you become a part of of North Pole Studios.
Sure. Yeah. So North Pole was co-founded in 2020. They launched their programming at the beginning of 2020. And if you remember, the pandemic hit right at the beginning of that year. So that first year, they had to pivot to all online programming that year. And the organization really started off as an all-volunteer run organization, hoping to serve 20 artists. Really, they were thinking of it in a very small way. And after the pandemic started to move forward and they were able to come together in person, the program really, really grew. There was a lot of interest in the program, a lot of people who were looking for community and connection, several programs that serve this population with arts programming closed in 2020. And so a lot of those artists were looking for spaces. And so at that time, there was just a real big interest. And our sister program, Elbow Room, also started in, I believe, in 2020 as well. And so with that growth, by 2023, North Pole was looking to hire its first executive director outside of the co-founders. And so they posted the job publicly. And when I saw it, I thought, this is the perfect fit for me. It brings together my experience working at Project Grow, Public Annex, and my passion for this specific work. And so I applied and I got the job at the end of 2023. So my first, I really officially started at the beginning of 2024.
Do you differ from things like Elbow Room and Art from the Heart, or are you guys kind of all the same?
We are different, yeah. So one of the big differences between Elbow Room and North Pole, now Art from the Heart is no longer around. They closed during the pandemic. But Elbow Room are a licensed provider organization. So folks who attend their programming are able to use their disability benefits to pay for those services. And the main difference, North Pole is private pay. So we do not bill, like Medicaid or the county for our services, and folks aren't able to use their disability benefits to pay for services. So all of our services it's all sliding scale, pay what you can. So people aren't able to use their disability benefits to access our services. And no one, the other big thing is no one on our staff are licensed like direct support professionals. So we don't provide direct support care services, whereas Elbow Room, all of their employees are also DSPs and are able to provide more direct support services. So folks in our program, if they need those services, they'll bring their caregiver with them to the classes or to the studio.
Well, it just kind of makes me wonder how you guys are able to survive without getting some kind of funding from, people's services to help you out, offsetting the cost of, you know, offices, supplies, and things like that.
Yeah, so we are funded through a lot of grants. We get a lot of grant funding to support our programming, individual donations, and fundraising events. Those are our main contributed income resources. So we'll throw big fundraiser events. And then we also do have earned income. So we do earn income through people paying to participate in our programs. We were able to sell merchandise and art, and that is also a revenue stream for us as well.
What is the value of having an art studio centered around people with disabilities?
Yeah, and I think for us, it's specifically people with autism and intellectual and developmental disabilities. I think it's important to focus in specifically on that because folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities face very unique and specific obstacles to participating in the broader arts community. And I think for North Pole and for us, I think there are so many obstacles for folks with disabilities in accessing not just the greater community and not just the arts, but just there's just so many more obstacles. And I think for artists who want to be professional artists, who want to pursue careers, who want to be seen as visible within the arts community, there are certain obstacles and barriers that make it harder for them. And so North Pole really exists to try to help provide the supports that they are needing to be successful in that. And for that, some of it is just like the space. Some folks just need space to create in, right? And some folks might need support in other ways. I think the big support that we provide is helping folks find artistic opportunities to sell and exhibit and earn income from their art. Oftentimes, those kinds of opportunities are really challenging. Applying for an open call or applying for an exhibit opportunity can be really challenging for someone with an intellectual or developmental disability. So we're able to provide that support and helping them get those opportunities and navigate some of those more challenging systems, and help them get their artwork seen in the world and hopefully make money from their art as well.
And when you say make money from their art, I'm just kind of curious, does North Pole take any like commission fee for, you know, to add to the funding stream that you already have?
We do. Yeah. We take a small commission from art sales. We have a variety of different kind of structures. We take a 50-50 cut on prints, on art prints, because we're paying for the prints to be made. The artist gets 50% of that. For all licensing and leasing opportunities, artists get 100% of the proceeds because we add on typically an admin fee for the client or customer. And then for exhibitions, a lot of times galleries will have commission cuts for artists. And so we will often decrease our commission split to make sure that the artists are getting the amount that they need to get through like gallery sales. Sometimes there's like a lot of layers of people wanting to take a commission from their sales.
Is there a gallery within North Pole too?
We don't have our own gallery. Yep. We just help folks get their work in other galleries. And then we'll either connect them with group shows, or we'll propose a group show to a gallery or a solo show. We're more the broker. We don't have our own gallery.
Do you guys like educate people around art, or do you guys ever hold an art class, or like, you know, a lead leap? Like, you know, you'll do some paintings and somebody will lead the painting class.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah. So that's a great question. And that kind of helps distinguish. We have two core programs. We have our studio program, and that's for artists who are pursuing they're very serious about their professional practice. They have their own unique ideas for pursuing and making. Then we also have our learning arm. And that's where we have lots of classes and workshops. Where artists will come in from the community, and some of our own studio artists will also facilitate. But that's where artists will share. And that is more of a curriculum-based kind of class where artists who sign up for those classes are learning a specific process or a specific medium or technique. And so that's kind of the other arm of our programming. We have our education and learning arm, and then we have our studio practice. And those studio artists absolutely can and do take the classes if they're like, ooh, I've never used that, you know, medium before. I'd like to learn that. And they can add that to their tool belt in their studio practice as well.
I am wondering, like, so is your education and maybe your history, like, around, are you like an art therapist or maybe like, did you get a degree in art? Do you have a degree in administration? I mean, what is your kind of like qualifications, I guess, is what I'm asking. And my apologies for asking that, but I'm curious.
Sure. Yeah, my background is just in visual art. I have a master's degree in visual art, and I have no background, any kind of formal education or training in like disability art or in art therapy or anything like that. But my experience working at Project Grow helped me learn a lot about working with that cross-section of arts and disability. And then most of my experience in arts administration has been on the ground learning. I've taken a couple of courses. I went through, RAC used to have a cultural leadership program where you could go through their program and learn a lot about arts administration. And that honestly taught me a lot going through that program. And everything else has been on the job, figuring it out as we go.
Wow. And when you say we, how many we's are there?
At North Pole right now?
Yes.
We have 12 staff members right now who are ongoing employees. And then we work with a ton of different artist contractors who come in and facilitate classes or provide different contractor services for us.
So some of the people in there are full-time employees and some are volunteers.
Yeah, we have full-time, part-time employees. We have volunteers, and then we have contractor employees as well.
I wonder if there'd be people out there willing to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, volunteering's pretty fun. Volunteer jobs are often supporting in our classes and workshops. And then we have some also like administrative volunteer jobs for folks too.
And if somebody was to go to your website, would they be able to find out if they wanted to volunteer, what positions would be open to be volunteered for?
Yeah, you can go to the website. It's northpolestudio.org, and then there's the Get Involved tab. And that has the different ways that people can get involved, whether that's becoming a teaching artist facilitator, or volunteering, or buying an item from our wish list, or making a donation. So there's lots of different opportunities there for folks to learn about ways they can get involved.
And would the art also be displayed that the participants are doing? Would their art also be displayed on that website as well?
Yep. On the website, if you go to the artist page, each of our studio artists has their own web page that talks about their biography and then also shows work samples and available works for sale. So North Pole Studio, then go to the artists tab.
Having this studio available for your participants, how does that affect them? How have you seen them? Have you seen their lives improve? Do you see them being happier, or do you see them creatively blossom into a new person? I mean, can you give me some idea on what that's kind of like when you made this space available to them, and how does it affect them?
Sure. That's a really good question. Everyone is so unique and different, but I think that broadly, I think there's so much value in the act of creating to anyone, right? The ability to be creative, to share the unique perspective and to have it seen and validated is really, really important to just like humans and the existence and the human experience. I think for this particular population, there are less opportunities to share their creative practice and to have their creative practice validated. We have artists who have been making art their entire life, and it was never seen as art. It was just seen as something that they did. She just is constantly scribbling in her sketch pad. But then to have North Pole say, "Wow, those scribbles are really good. They are really cool. They are really valid. They belong on a gallery wall." That's a huge thing. It's a huge deal. And I think to have it validated by others makes a huge difference. And I think for folks who are nonverbal, that art making is one of the primary modes of expression. To see what they're thinking and feeling through their art is really, really vital. It's a really great communication tool to share with others what's going on internally. I think like more specifically, I think that being in community makes a huge impact on people's mental health and well-being. And a lot of folks in this population face a lot of isolation and spend a lot of time alone. And then so just the greater impact of being able to be in community with others in a community of people that are like you, who like love art and get jazzed about the same creative art that you do. That also, I think, makes a huge impact on mental health and well-being. And then the financial impact. Many of our artists are reliant on disability benefits, which are really limited. And so earning even small amounts of income can be huge. It can allow people to, have a little bit higher quality of life and to be able to purchase things that they're needing that they can't afford, or to be able to participate in activities that they haven't been able to participate in because of financial barriers. So I think the financial income is huge. We've seen social impacts as well. One artist, and I'm sure she publicly shares the story, so I'm sure she's okay with me sharing it, but she said when she first came to North Pole, her dad was dragging her, kicking and screaming. She did not want to come to North Pole. She was really, really socially nervous. She did not like to talk to other people. She always made her parents speak for her. And she said that through coming to North Pole and making her art, it really, really opened her up. And now she does public speaking. She speaks in front of crowds of hundreds of people. And so for her, it was really life changing, in seeing and having her creative voice heard. And now she feels more comfortable sharing it. So those are some of the impacts that I see, on more broadly and then even more specifically.
So having to deal with the Gestapo, SSI, excuse me, having to deal with SSI, their asset limits and things like that, do you guys have a way around that? I mean, do you have some kind of shelter that enables them to earn money from their art without exceeding the asset limits of their SSI?
Yeah, that is a good question. Yes, this is a big problem. And from some of our artists who are getting really successful and earning a lot of money, it is a problem. You know, we've had one artist who also has a part-time job and her disability benefits were suspended, and she's in legal battles. So it is a big challenge. North Pole, we don't have a specific way to shelter that money. We do support folks in getting access to setting up a special needs trust. We have an attorney that will do pro bono work to help get those set up, and helping folks get connected to setting up an ABLE account. Now, the special needs trust doesn't actually help with, you know, those earning caps, but the ABLE account does. So we help support folks doing that. We also, something we do internally is we will pay out artists fees in small chunks over a course of time. So sometimes, like someone, if they sold a $2,000 painting, they can't get paid $2,000 all at once because that will impact their benefits. But we can give them $100 payments over the course of months or $250 payments. So we'll pay out their earnings, and they'll tell us what they want us to do to help them ensure that they are getting, they're not impacting those benefits. Other options we have for artists are helping, like there truly are some artists who just can't receive the money. And so they can make a charitable donation to their choice. They can use those funds in different ways. But it's a huge problem, John, and I think it is important to talk about. I'm on a mission right now, trying to get individual arts opportunities like fellowships and major awards. I'm trying to help them understand that artists who receive disability benefits could never accept a $35,000 award. And trying to get them to change their charters to allow them to pay that money out to a fiscal sponsor or someone so that artists with disabilities can still be acknowledged in these like prestigious realms, without losing their benefits. So I have a one-page information sheet that I've been sharing around to a bunch of funders, trying to help them understand that unique challenge. And so that someday I'd love to see a big, you know, a big national fellowship awarded to someone with a disability, without them losing their benefits.
So I was just wondering, have any of them turned their art sales around and just say, hey, you know what? I just want to put it back into North Pole so I can just keep on going here.
Yeah, so that's another way that folks can do that. They can, you know, for our studio members who pay for their services, they can use their earnings to prepay for those services. So it just goes back and they get the money into their account here. So that's one way for folks to do it as well. So they can, we have some artists who prepaid for like 2 years worth of their studio memberships using their earnings to try and reduce their actual income.
Can you give me a range of what your prices are? Because I'm certain people are going to be interested in...
To join our program? Yeah, like I said, it's all sliding scale. So the classes and workshops, depending on, you know, we do one-day deep dives, we do like 8-week courses. So they all kind of vary in price. But when, you know, when folks register, they get to say that they can say, this is how much I can pay. And it can be zero. And then that's fine. But I think full price could be anywhere up to $200 for like a longer course or workshop, but and as low as, you know, $50 for like a 1 day workshop, kind of there. But again, if someone signs up, they can't afford $50, they can put in zero and they can still participate in our programming.
Yeah, thanks. And I was just wondering, so oftentimes, not knowing all the ins and outs of all the programs and stuff like that, I often miss things, mm-hmm. and some really important things. So you got anything like that you need my audience to know, or you want me to know, or, you know, you just want to get out there into the world? So anyways, you got something for,
sure.
for that question?
Sure. Well, I always like to remind people that they can hire North Pole artists. Anyone can commission an artist. You can, I mean, individuals can commission artists, businesses can commission artists, and that can look in so many different ways. We just had a company commission one of our artists to do portraits of all of their staff members for their website. That's super fun. We have artists who will commission an artist to do a family portrait or a pet portrait. You can hire our artists to teach workshops for team building events at your workplace. You can also hire our artists to give lectures or talks at your workplace. A lot of times folks will want to bring someone in to talk about Disability Employment Awareness Month in October or Autism Awareness Month in April. And so we have several artists who love giving talks and lectures. And so that's another way to hire our artists. We also do lease artwork for companies. We have a couple of leasing clients that they will lease artwork to fill their beautiful offices, and they keep it up for 6 months, and then we come in and we swap it out, and our artists get paid while the artwork is hanging. So there's a lot of great opportunities for folks to directly support our artist career by commissioning them or hiring them to speak or teach or leasing their artwork.
You know, people are now going to want your contact information because they're going to want to know how to join, and they're going to want to know how to volunteer. Of course, I'm pretty certain there'll be questions and stuff like that. But before we get there really quickly, was there anything else or talk about?
Yeah, I think the big things are for folks who are interested in taking a class or joining our programs. All that information is on our website. We do have a new spring term of classes that's launching pretty soon. And so I think that's so either join our program as an artist yourself or as an art learner, or hire our artists or reach out about volunteering and donating. Those are the main ways to kind of engage with us.
All right. So now tell us all the contact information we're going to need, phone numbers, websites, email addresses, all that stuff. Just throw it out.
Sure. So our website is northpolestudio.org. That's a great place to get a ton of information. And that's also where you could sign up for our newsletters. We send out biweekly newsletters that just share about everything that's happening at North Pole. You can follow us on Instagram, North Pole PDX. And you can call us 971-251-0020. That's their office number. For anyone who's interested in taking a class, you can call and set up a time to come into the studio and learn more about the program. Oftentimes it's helpful to see the space before you commit to starting a new opportunity like this.
And do you have an email address or maybe a Facebook or anything like that?
We do have Facebook. It is, I think it's North Pole PDX. And email, the best email is probably contact@northpolestudio.org.
I'd like to thank you very much for coming into my studio, even though it isn't actually a studio, and sitting down and doing the interview with me and putting out North Pole to my audience here at Cable and letting us know all about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate you inviting me.
That's the end of Disability Justice. Caught in the fire.
listening to KBOO Portland.
Listen.